Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This morning we wanted to talk about the question that sits us at the crossroads of international law, geopolitics, and presidential influence. To what extent do the United States sanctions and threats, especially those that those under President Trump, influence a decision in cases of the International Criminal Court? We are joined this morning by Anne Hertzberg, who is, of course, well known to us. She's a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare. Anne, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're well.
Good morning. Great to be here.
So let's just talk about, first of all, where are we with this case? Because it seems, you know, there's always these discussions about who will and who won't arrest, let's say, Netanyahu. But what is actually going on with the case? Where are we?
Well, actually, right now, there's been a pretty much for the past year, a series of appeals brought by Israel to the court, some of which had been successful. And so basically to look at the jurisdiction issue, because of course, as we all know, the court never had jurisdiction and basically invented it for themselves. And so the Israelis appealed that the pretrial chamber, which issued the warrants, never looked at that issue. They punted on the jurisdictional issue. And so now that's really been pending at the court for almost a year. And so I guess we'll have to see what happens there. You know, it's unclear what the judges are going to do in that case. I mean, the law is on Israel's side. But of course, as we know, at these international institutions, they basically make it up as they go along and do whatever they want. That's unknown at the moment.
I was reading a couple of the reports, actually some of them from your organization, talking about how Hamas, about the documents that have been found, and how Hamas very, very clearly acted to significantly harm the residents of Gaza. And when I looked at that, I thought, well, I mean, I know this is now back to the ICJ, not the ICC, but when I look at that, I thought, well, how does this ICJ or ICC charade continue when it is so clear that there was a design by Hamas to cause suffering? And yet Israel's being prosecuted for it. In a way, just looking at that information, I thought, well, doesn't everything just fall apart on the basis of what has been found?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally absurd. What's ridiculous is that these courts, again, do not follow proper evidentiary rules and are political courts. And therefore, they are willfully blind. So when the ICJ, for instance, issued its opinion about UNRWA a couple months ago, it did not look at any of the negative information it had received about UNRWA. All it looked at were self-serving reports by UNRWA and by a committee set up by the UN, which basically, you know, made a few minor comments about problems at UNRWA, but basically said everything's great there. And so that's really what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that are unwilling, that all they do is take UN reports, take that as gospel, and they're unwilling to investigate the facts because, again, it's political, and many of the people working at these institutions are ideological, and therefore, it's even when the facts are staring them in the face, nothing is going to get in their way of trying to go after Israelis because that is their goal. And it's unfortunate, but they are destroying themselves as institutions by this massive bias.
And you have no idea how important that statement is, because we were chatting earlier with Professor Bill Kohlbrenner from Bar-Ilan, and we were talking about Wikipedia, and I said, what's interesting to me is that the anti-Israel movement doesn't care about their host. So they will destroy Wikipedia. They will destroy the ICC, destroy the ICJ. They'll destroy Eurovision, medical conferences, South Africa as a country economically, because they don't care about their hosts. All they care about is the anti-Israel obsession. And the sooner all these organizations actually wake up to that fact, the better. But I don't know why it doesn't strike them as being as obvious as it is. They don't care about Eurovision. They don't care about ICC, ICJ, or anything else. They only care about anti-Israel, and even if it means the destruction of that organization. And we're seeing this over and over again.
Yeah, and I think it's actually really important to note, they don't care about Palestinians either. Because if they cared about Palestinians, they would want to get rid of Hamas. They would want to do everything they can to come to a peaceful resolution of this conflict. But everything they do is talking about eliminating Israel, river to sea, getting, you know, now all this anti-Zionist lunacy that's taken over the world, talking about ethnic cleansing of Jews, genociding Jews, you know, and when they're supposedly, you know, fighting against this for the Palestinians. And they don't care that Palestinians are run by an entity, by a group of Islamist, demons, really. I don't see there's any other way you can put it, based on what this group is. And they're destroying Palestinian lives, and they don't care. And also, we look at Western society the past couple years. That also has been destroyed because of this Palestinianism, this free, not even Palestinianism, free Palestinianism. Israel eliminationism. And the unfortunate fact is that a lot of these international institutions and NGOs were at the vanguard and were captured by these forces even before October 7th. We're going back now 10, 15, 20 years, where they have, you know, really captured these institutions, taken them over, and are promoting this very destructive ideology. And I think that's a lot of the reason why they don't wake up, because the institutions have already been captured. So I'm not sure they can be reformed at this point.
Yeah. So what is likely to happen in terms of, just going back to our original subject, the political pressure by the United States, for example, on the ICC, ICJ, is this likely to result in anything positive? How does this play out?
I mean, I don't think it's going to stop the court from doing what the court wants to do, because, again, I think they'll just, you know, dig in their heels. No, we're not going to, you know, cave to the big bad U.S. But it's definitely affecting their budget, their income, their operations. That's for sure. We also see that at the U.N., but I do think, you know, regardless of that, you know, the U.S. is taking a principled stand. They think what the institution is doing wrong is violating international law, is harming Western interests, is harming the United States, which never signed up for the court, but yet is trying, is being dragged into it. Same with Israel. And so they think the institution is not living up to what it was. And so they are perfectly and well within their rights to take retaliatory measures. And same with the UN, to cut the funding off. Why should they be paying for something that is completely opposed to their interests and is harming their interests? There's no, you know, guarantee to get billions of dollars a year. It's, you know, and people don't pay you to do things that are going to be destructive. So, the UN and the ICC, if they want to get their money back and end these sanctions, they need to start. It's not even bending to the U.S. It's living up to the documents under which those institutions were founded. That's, I think, what people don't understand. These institutions are not following their founding documents, the agreements under which they are supposed to be operating. And that's the problem. And that's also what gets lost in a lot of the discourse.
Absolutely fascinating, and it is going to be, this is going to continue. It's obviously not going to end right now, as you say. The courts will continue with whatever it is that they're doing, but I believe that they're going to start to look more and more absurd as more information becomes available. So we'll see how that plays out. That's Anne Hertzberg. She is an expert in lawfare. She's a legal advisor of NGO Monitor, talking to us about the ICC.